sit there a little bit. So find that place and then just kind of listen as we develop and walk through some things. Let me make things crystal clear. There is no greater direction of where your life is in Jesus Christ than the indication of where your finances are. There's a powerful relation between your spiritual condition, your spiritual growth, and your attitude toward money and possession. Now, let me clarify before we get going into any great detail. The ship's not sinking. We're not walking through the next 3 to 4 weeks talking about finances because we're at a loss and we don't know what's going to happen. God has blessed this church greatly. And if no one tithes for the next month or two, we're still well taken care of because God has a plan. But the question is, where is our heart as a church? Where's our faith? What do we put our hope and our trust in? As your pastor, I feel like I have failed you greatly. Because we as a church, through much, much prayer, before God, as your pastoral staff met and talked about a budget for this year. And then as we meet with what teams we have in place to really think through that, the deacons, the budget team, and all these different people, we have a large group that go into the discussion, into the prayer time. And then as a church, we present a potential budget before all for a month or more to look at, to pray over. And then we as a church unanimously approve of a budget that we believe, not a person, not a group, not a team put together, but that we believe God put together. As we start out the year, we start off trusting in God. We talk about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we're like, trust God in all things. One of my favorite sayings that I had a great saint tell me one time says, what God tells you in the light, don't you dare question in the darkness. Because life's going to come and tragedies and troubles and issues are going to come to you. Do not question whether or not God's plan was right from the get-go. And so what we have to take in consideration is, first, that God had to be wrong. Or us as a whole entire body missed it. That's more likely than God being wrong, isn't it? But maybe it's not quite that simple. Maybe we were right and God was wrong. But we chose to let circumstances dictate how we give, how we love, and how we support what God's doing. Whether you see frustrations within the church or the economical downturn or whatever may be the situation, God has called us to walk and live by faith. I'm just going to be honest. We've failed to do so. We've pulled back from the potential ministry opportunities out of fear that finances might not be there. But in all reality, we as pastors, as leaders, should realize they're always there if God's on our side. But yet we walk holding on to things that really aren't ours to hold on at all. And so we walk through this together. And here's what happens. Whether it be in our giving or even in our spending as a church, once we allow money to have lordship over our lives, and sometimes that's because there's so much, and that is often the case because there's so little. Well, if I had more, I'd give more. Or if I did this, I would do that. That when we allow money to have lordship over our lives, money has a capital M, and it becomes our God and what we serve. We must understand this very clearly. Materialism isn't just wrong. It's not just sinful. It's complete and total foolishness. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 16:26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Scripture makes it crystal clear that our life is a vapor, it's a mist. It's like the grass that withers, the flower that fades. If our eyes on eternity, then this life here becomes nothing more than a blink of an eye. What happens is that we are soul spiritual beings, and we have a spiritual longing to grow and become closer to Jesus Christ. And when we look for the things of this world to satisfy that, it says, food, this life is truly a vapor, if we see it as such, wouldn't a relationship that has eternal benefit make much more difference? There's a man that every month of his life, he stuck a $100 bill into his mattress. He hid it away. And upon his deathbed, he told his wife about the money that he had stashed away. Her heart became excited and leaped forward. He says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take all of that cash, and I want you to take all that money and put it in my coffin with me when I go. She said, okay. So he passed. She took all the money to the bank and deposited it and wrote a check and stuck it in the coffin. Says, make it you came, make it you will leave. There's no U-Haul attached to the coffin. There's no taking any of it with us. If God is truly the God of reason and logic, and he lays things out for us in such a way that we walk by faith, what do we got? Why do we not trust in all that he has for us? Materialism desires to destroy our spiritual life. Listen to St. Augustine, one of the great fathers of our faith, says, thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and thy heart of man is restless until it finds rest in thee. We are made to worship God. And so often in my own life, the surplus or the lack of finances have dictated my worship of God. Sad that I allow something so temporal, so passing by, to control my relationship with the great God. We've all been there. We've all done it. We've looked at finances in a very pathetic way, thinking, look what I have, look what I gain. You don't have your breath without Jesus Christ. You don't have energy. You don't have life at all. Without Jesus, what have you gained apart from him? Romans says in chapter 11, who is before him? Who is it that God owes something to? There's not one. And yet we look at it in such a way. And here's the problem. Prosperity can bring us God's blessing. But when we take that idea and we move it and we treat it as a substitute for God, we are worshiping what he's given to us as a blessing. And the church is so hard to see the difference at times. The church and the world mesh together so much that it's hard to see what it truly is. Listen to the story in Acts chapter 8. Simon, the magician, gives his life to Christ. And listen to what he sees. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither no part but in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven for you. How many times have you done it? I know I've done this. That if I give this money, God owes me something. If I tithe, if I give this love offering, if I give extra and above and beyond over here, my business is going to succeed. It's going to work well. Pope Leo X. In the early 16th century, started to sell in the Catholic Church indulgences. These indulgences were a method of you paying a fee, and by paying this fee, you could pray a prayer, and the Pope would pray a prayer that would get your loved one out of purgatory. And that worked out pretty well, and so the saying that went around the church at the time says, as soon as the coin is in the coffin rings, from purgatory, the soul springs. bankrupt in a hurry. Someone would say, who in the right mind would want those damn hands on top of my head? But the church does some of the silliest, simplest things. We don't yield to the other extreme too. We don't have the funds. You know what? We're not going to plan. We're not going to pray. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to. Try just maintaining, and it destroys it from the core. And we miss the point so very much. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to a carved idol. How often do we hear? How often do we give our praise that should be to God and God alone to a green, flat idol? How often do we give His glory to things that we possess that have no value? Here's the thought. We in the church have neglected to walk by faith. We've allowed circumstances and frustration and the economy and all these other things to rob the glory of God. We are in almost October. And as it stands right now, we as a church are roughly $190,000 behind budget. But yet we continue to Cadillac along like nothing's an issue. We continue to just walk and the lights are on, the air conditioning, not so much there, but the air conditioning works. We have coffee, we have things that we enjoy that we just made. Because we have failed to realize that we entered into an agreement with God. That we, regardless of the world, regardless of the economy, regardless of anything else, we were to walk by faith and trust Him. To expand our budget beyond anything we've ever done before. And so as a pastor, instead of leading through that, we just pulled back. All funds are there, so we obviously have to stop doing X, Y, and Z. Maybe we're not able to go out here. It's impossible to judge what all has been pulled back and what effect that might have had on our community because we can't even go there because we've walked by fear, not faith. And so I have to confess to you, I have failed. I have failed greatly in my own home. I failed in my own church. To walk by faith, to walk by sight. I think we all have it. God desires for us to walk by His faith. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. That without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him. Why is God not blessing? Because we don't walk by faith. It's not, hey God, I'm going to do this, and you have to bless, and you have to do all these things. It just says, focus on me. Keep your eyes and your gaze on my face, and walk by faith. Jesus goes back to his own hometown, and it says in Matthew 13, 58, and he did not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. How much unbelief do you have on a given day? Is God going to show up? Is He going to provide? Is He going to take care of everything that we need? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. I do that all the time. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. When we take our eyes off Jesus and put them on the circumstances, put them on the things of this world, we miss Jesus. I believe God is calling us today to get ready to walk by faith, to trust Him in everything that we do. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. So if you would you stand as we read His words and honor His word? Do not lay up treasures on earth. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be helpful. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Lay up treasures in heaven. This idea of laying up treasures is that idea of taking a coin and stacking them as high as you can. You remember as a kid, you try to stack them as high as you can, and you get your pennies about $1 or $2 high, and it would just come low. It's a whole idea of stacking them up as high as you can and going to the next one. It's that idea of laying up for yourself clothing that you have no plan whatsoever to even take the tag off of them, and they're in your closet. And your closet is a mile long, and you just keep putting more and more and more into your closet. This idea that this rust is going to come in, and it's going to erode that metal to where it has no value whatsoever. Why do we have mothballs? Because moths will come in and lay their eggs inside your nice, fine fabric. And as those eggs are hatched, they just eat and destroy the integrity of all your clothing. That's that image of you're laying up treasures that have no value here, clothing that you never even wear, but you just have to have. He says, do not lay them up. Why? You see, throughout Scripture, you fool, your life is required of you this very night. How often do we focus only on tomorrow and neglect to walk by faith today? How many times do we store up treasures here on this earth? This has nothing to do with being conservative and saving that you will spend and you will use. This is the idea that you store up just to show off all that you have. This is the idea of laying aside and storing just to gain and have more and more when you see the Word of God being depleted of its integrity by our very lives. This is the idea of getting and consuming and purchasing more and more when the gospel is not being spread in our own community and to the ends of the world, to the world, because we're selfish with what God has given to us. So next week we go into sharing and speaking of what is tithing. What does that even look like? What's the point? What's the purpose? It's really the question as I want you to start thinking about this entire week and going forward. It's not how much am I required to give. It's how blessed am I to keep any of it at all. Because he is so good. He says, do not lay these up because they're going to be stolen. They're going to be ruined. They're going to be thrown away. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. Have you ever had something wrong with your eye? How does that affect your whole body? By the time I was in eighth grade till I graduated college, I got pink eye every year about this time. Every single year I got pink eye. When my eye hurt, my toes hurt. My wife just had LASIK or whatever she had a few weeks ago. I got her graduation present when she did. Graduated with her master's degree was LASIK. And I bought the package, and if it ever changed, then I'd go back in and touch it up for free. Because why is the only smart thing I think I've ever done? And so a few weeks ago, they went and touched it up, but they don't do LASIK anymore. They do PRK. Someone told me what that means. Well, I know it's PRK. And I watched both surgeries, and this was much more disgusting, is the best way to put it. And I'm watching this thinking, why would you freely do this? The LASIK that she had 9 years ago, that evening there was no pain, she could see, everything went well. This, we're at week 2+, and it still is painful. It's still foggy. Like I said, she had to leave last night and drove in the evening, and that was the worst time. Her eyes were starting to hurt again. But the last week when they hurt really bad, she felt like she just had the flu over her whole body because her eyes hurt. Jesus saying, when your eye is bad, it affects your whole body. So what are we talking about? What's the eye? One, for us, it's our heart. When your heart I can tell you where your heart is, but more accurately, I can tell you where your heart's not. I can tell you exactly where you really don't care about things. Did you know that in my checkbook, and this is funny, I know, but there's not one single ledger that goes to you, OSU. Not one single thing. Not a penny of mine has ever gone there that I know of. Why? Some may know a lot of my money from you. And I'll be okay with that after much mourning and loss, but I'll be okay with that. I tell you, if your heart's for God, you'll give to God's ministry. And here's what we do. We'll say, you know what? I love God. I love what God has to do, but I just don't really trust in the church, or I don't trust in this. And so, you know what? I'm not going to give my offerings. I'm not going to give my tithes to church. I'm going to send it through them and redirect my blood. And I'm going to designate where I want it to go, like we outsmarted God and his blessings. It says, listen, when you give unto me. I'll hold you accountable how you give. I will hold the church accountable how she stands. That's not your job. It's not anybody's job but you and your relationship with God and what he calls you to. We are the New Testament. This is what we go through next week. We're the New Testament. Our tithe is the floor, not the ceiling of what we do. And we walk through this. Listen to 27:24. No one can serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is bringing back the image, the mental picture of slavery. You cannot be a slave and free at the same time. It's impossible. It's completely impossible. You will either serve God or you will serve your money. There is no 50-50. There is no 90-10. There is no other equation except 100% committed to God or 100% committed to your money. So when we ever think of our money as ours, we're no longer at that moment serving God. You know, the hardest lesson I've ever had to learn is living in Fort Worth that we're going through. I've shared with you enough of my story that you know a little bit, but we sold our business. We did everything we could to get a profit from it and lost $150,000. We're in seminary, and all we ever did was move from smaller houses to smaller houses to smaller houses and increase in children. I don't know why we thought that was an intellectual idea. But our last house that we lived in was owned by missionaries, and they let us rent it for really, really cheap. We had three kids pregnant with the fourth in a total of 850 square feet. We could barely make all of our payments. But we did. We lived by faith. And we were driving and seeing homeless. And stinking spiritual kids would tug at your heartstrings every time. Daddy, should we love them? No. Be quiet and sit in the back. Daddy, should we offer them some food? Should we give them some money? Your first thought, we're just spending on alcohol. We're going and destroy everything. But God made it crystal clear many times, not every time, many times. You're going to give them everything that you have to. But God only knows that. You're going to give them everything that you have. And we walk by faith. We're working in a church, and one night during a college Bible study, someone tried to break into my wife's vehicle. And a spider in her passenger glass window completely. And I called and tried to find anybody nearby I could that they replaced it. It was about $400 to have it replaced. And I couldn't figure it out. We had to buy diapers and not a window. And God really sort of checked my heart. I used to see people drive around in a vehicle that was like that. I'd say, you bum, take care of what you've been given. But I realized at that point, I'm taking care of what I've been given. And it's called a child that needs food. That we had one that wasn't eating, and the nurses, we had to buy formula and all these extra things. And we had a I can't serve both.